You are now listening to the Inner Circle Podcast Network.
Hashtag no offense uses strong language and is intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Hashtag no offense.
Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag No Offense. My name is Chris, joined by my co-host on the mic, as well as in life, the lovely Duchess.
Hello.
And special treat for everybody tonight, we are joined by the Podfather himself,
nice.
Jersey John Buchanis. What's up?
Hey, I'm excited. I'm a big fan of the show, and now I get a chance to be on the show. Things are good. Things are good.
I feel like it's been a long time coming, man. I feel like we've been trying to connect for a while now.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm glad we could finally do that.
Mr. Bukkake himself.
Yeah, she calls you John Bukkake. That's
jeez.
That's how you're referred to in our house.
I can't look at your last name and not think about it.
I hope I'm a giver, not a receiver.
Right? That's a very important detail here, man.
Yes.
Depends on the day.
Sorry to keep you waiting here, man. We had some last minute stuff to do with the children for the fall festivals and the Halloween festivities, as it were.
It was the fucking worst.
It was the worst.
I had
worst $30.
I got to be honest with you. I thought I was going to be late because I had the truck up on two wheels trying to get in here today, and I come racing down to the studio, and I got here with like 3 minutes to spare. So,
oh wow,
yeah.
Well, then we're good.
Yeah, we're good.
We're still on time. So,
yeah.
Well, I
kind of had a feeling we were going to be late. We took our kids to the fall fundraiser at his school, and he managed to split his costume. So he was walking around with just wild white butt cheek meat hanging out, and then we had to gather him up and leave.
Oh, geez.
Like we can't take you anywhere.
It was nice that they were actually outside, though.
Yeah, it's nice to be outside. It was actually a nice, beautiful fall Florida evening, if you could believe there is such a thing.
You know what? I have been to Florida a few times, and usually it's in the summertime, and I melt. So I would imagine it must be nice to be there in the fall or in the spring.
More in the winter.
More, well, we don't have a winter. More in your winter.
Okay.
Yes. For sure.
Let's get some sponsor recognition out of the way so we can just do this. This week and every week, the official sponsor of the Hashtag No Offense show is Hemp Bomb CBD. Hemp Bombs are specifically formulated to provide consumers with a quality CBD product at an affordable price. 99% pure CBD isolate with 0% THC, which means they are legal in all 50 states. Many benefits include reduced anxiety, increased sense of relaxation, reduction of aches and pains, mood enhancement, and deeper, more restful sleep. John, you're a old timer like myself. I'm sure you could benefit from that whole list of shit. Am I right?
I got to tell you, I haven't used it yet, and I've really been thinking about it.
Brother, I will get you some. I'll get you a no-risk trial.
I appreciate it.
Of my the Hashtag No Offense show, just as a token of our appreciation for sitting with us tonight.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Hemp Bombs come in a wide variety of products, including oils and e-liquids, gummy suckers, capsules, syrup, and even products for your pet. This is the last week for our contests. We've been promoting that edibles bundle on our social media in the last couple episodes. That's running through this Thursday, which is Halloween. All you got to do is review the show, get screen capture it, send me an email or a DM. I've gotten it in all forms. I've gotten it texted to me. I mean, I was channeling my inner Randall Fowler. I'm like, I said to email it, God damn it. Email it to the address. And it's coming in all forms, but I don't care, whatever. All you got to do is get it to us, get yourself entered for a chance to win the prize pack. It's an edible bundle that includes 100 milligram relaxation syrup, which is the big bottle, 15 counts capsules, 15 count gummies, 300 milligrams of oil, a stress ball, and a ballpoint pen to write me a thank you letter.
or a fuck off letter.
That seems more accurate.
That's how I write.
That's how you write. Check out hempbombs.com. Use code word HTNOS and save 20% on your entire order. That's HTNOS at hempbombs.com. We are also sponsored by Onnit.com. Onnit is a health and fitness juggernaut dedicated to delivering total human optimization to its vast customer base of athletes, thinkers, and fitness gurus. Through a wide array of products and supplements, Onnit combines cutting-edge science, earth-grown nutrients, and time-tested strategies to help people reach their peak performance. Basically, what that means is they have a whole line of vitamins, a lot of good shit to make you a better version of yourself. We don't need to go into the whole line, because if you've listened to any podcast ever, you've heard of Onnit.com. You know about Alpha Brain. You know about all the goodness that's going to help your brain.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're like me and don't eat shit, because I'm already the best.
I have a feeling that you could use a little bump.
Of what? Coke?
Visit onnit.com/htnos where you can save 10% on your entire order. That's onnit.com/htnos. Okay, now all that business shit out of the way. John, how the hell are you, buddy?
Not bad. I haven't podcasted in a while. When I say that, on my own show.
On your own show.
Right. But I've been doing guest spots and stuff like that.
I was actually, that's, you know what? You're a goddamn professional, and I think that goes without saying, and I think you knew where I was going to go, and that's, man, where's this bear cave? I've been hearing all about this bear cave, and I actually even sat in on the video of the first episode, and I haven't seen it.
I know. So it's my fault, because, of course, what I do is I say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do a three-part episode where I do a monologue, then I do an interview, and then I talk with my cousin, and it just takes a lot of time to put something like that together.
I'm sure.
You know, I also edit for other podcasters. I also consult for other podcasters and troubleshoot for other podcasters. So then what you know what it's like? It's like a mechanic whose own car is a hoopty. You know, in other words, by the time you get to work on your car, you're like, fuck this. I'm not working on this right now.
Mm-hmm. Take care of everybody else, and then you got no time for yourself, man.
Exactly. So I have the one with Randall, and I'm going to put that out. And then I'm thinking, again, I always think about changing things up where I can make it easier. So I would like to go to more of an interview, cut out the monologue, and then maybe my cousin has been part of the old podcast, which I used to have. It was an unbelievably stupid podcast. Mm-hmm. And so he liked it. So he says, well, I want to come on. And I'm like, okay, well, we'll do that. So then we come on and we almost do an hour show ourselves. So the thing about it is, what do I do here? And so I was thinking about doing like a two-part bear cave. So in other words, maybe on Mondays, the show with me being with another podcaster like yourself. And then on Wednesdays, me and my cousin. So it would be like a show, but it would be like an A show and a B show. And just put it out. I mean, there is no rule in podcasting. So
yeah. No.
Why not do
that's
it?
The beauty of it.
Mm-hmm. Let's just do it. You know, so that's where I'm working on right now.
We've thought about doing multiple shows like that, but it's hard enough to sit down and do the one. Like,
exactly.
If we sat down a second time, I don't know what we'd say to each other.
Probably the same thing we say to each other every day.
What?
A whole lot of nothing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I've been looking for the bear cave. So I was wondering what was going on with that. I didn't know if you had second thoughts or what was the story there.
It's one of those things where I used to be on a show called Brilliant Observations with two friends of mine, and I said I cannot get to my own show, and I'm doing this show. And what I was doing is I was basically being part of it and producing it. And then finally, I said to them, "This isn't. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like being on the show." But it's two ladies and then me, and I'm a little bit of a, it's like having two lovely sheep and a grizzly bear.
Yeah, so what you're saying essentially is you're a little bit of a toxic male? Is that?
Yeah, I would get, everybody would complain about me.
What? Sounds like our show.
Right, they would complain about me. So finally I said, why am I doing this?
Aw,
like,
don't quit on me, Chris.
I might, you know, hey, it's been brought to my attention that people only fuck with us for you. So,
oh,
I mean, maybe I'll just turn tail and haul ass. I'll let you do it all. And then you can monologue.
It'd be like deep thoughts with the Duchess.
Do you have those?
Deep thoughts with the Duchess. Could happen.
How big is too big? I wouldn't know.
Wow.
Jeez.
I know, right?
Who knew Duchess was a size queen? I had no idea.
Hold on. What do you need?
What you need, Luke?
See, this is the problem. I'm sorry, John.
Don't ever apologize. I have five kids. I've walked the path.
For Christmas, you show me your Christmas list?
Can we get through Halloween?
Yes. I'll put it on your list. Please stay upstairs, okay?
Take that upstairs and keep that until after Thanksgiving.
It's a Paw Patrol tower that he already has that he wants for Christmas.
So, well, the beauty there is that we could just go into his room and we could just get what he's already got and bring it out and say Merry Christmas.
Don't think I ain't thought about that, because there's a whole closet upstairs of shit they don't use. The older one's a little smarter, so he might catch on.
John, don't take this the wrong way, but you only have 5 kids? I thought you had way more than that.
No, I have a stepdaughter that's 29, a daughter that's 21, one that's 19. I have twins that are 17. So at one time, we had 4 under the age of 4.
Holy shit.
No, thank you.
Damn.
Right.
Is that why you're divorced?
Well, no. But
I think I would be divorced just to get time to myself. That's insane. That's a lot of fucking diapers.
Oh, it was the twins. Everybody says, oh, I would love to have a set of twins. I said, until you have a set.
Just knock it out of the way. That's what everybody thinks. Well, just get it out of the way.
No, mine are 5 years apart, and it still pisses me off sometimes.
Yeah. For 2 years, all I did when I got home from work was change diapers, feed kids, burp kids, put kids to sleep.
Yep.
Damn. It's crazy.
We still do that.
So how was savage? I can only imagine how the holidays were at your house with all those kids. I mean, like, Christmas had to be super expensive. Stuff like Halloween had to be a super pain in the ass, because I mean, like, you're herding kids down the street like they're cattle.
Absolutely. And the thing about Christmas was, like, you were just talking with your son coming in with the list. They would come in with a list, and I was like, I don't know who you think Santa is. So I don't know how much money you think Santa has.
Right.
Right. So we would make, and then in the morning, they would rush downstairs and there would be just this 15 minutes sounds just of ripping paper. And then they would take and open up all the gifts and then they would have it all over the floor and they would lose pieces. And then the next day, I would look at my soon to be ex-wife and say, why can't they just take out one toy at a time? And I called my ex, she was the kid's agent. So in other words, whenever I had this, you know, whenever I was trying to discipline the kids, I always had to talk to the agent. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's funny. They're in their, you know, like I said, they're older now. And the other day I was talking to her and I said, listen, I haven't had to deal with the kid's agent in a while, but you got to trust me on this one here.
That's got to be a whole different dynamic to, I mean, your kids are adults now. I mean, I couldn't imagine. Yeah.
And they're out of the house. That's
listen,
a win.
Blink, because it goes fast. I'm not going to lie. It's, you know, you're sitting there and they're 5 and 6 and the next thing you know, they're 17 and you're teaching them how to drive. And the next thing you know, they're 21 and you're taking them out for their first drink. So
our oldest is just 10.
It happens real fast.
We were just talking shit to each other the whole way home. And I was thinking that to myself. I was like, Jesus Christ, he's so old now that he can actually just sit there and talk shit back to me now. To the point where I was like, funny. Hey, dude, like, I'm still your dad. I can talk shit to you. This is a one-way street.
Right. Yes. One of my youngest daughter, she actually edits podcasts for me.
Really?
At 16 years old, she says, I can't get a job. No one will hire me because I'm 16. I said, I'll hire you.
Nice.
So I taught her how to edit podcasts. Now, she doesn't listen to podcasts, but she's a pretty good editor. I'll be honest with you.
Now, is that like your day job? I mean, I know you're the pod father and you edit everybody's problems away and you fix everybody's garbage audio that they send to you when they screw up a track on a collab show like we've all done at some point or another. I mean, you've saved my ass personally more than a couple of times. Is that what you do for, you know, your day job?
I have a business called Audio Editing Solutions.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. So, you know, you go there and we edit your podcast. We give you equipment recommendations. I've been podcasting since 2012.
Damn.
And working, you know, on other podcasts and stuff like that. And between me and my clients, I have over 1,000 episodes under my belt.
Holy so, yeah. Shit.
Does your daughter like doing that? Like, is that something that she might go to school for?
No.
She just wants to get paid.
Just pocket cash.
She wants to be a beautician. She wants to dye hair and cut hair and do
nails.
Yeah,
she'd make her out of that. I want to do that too.
So we'll see. But again, I tell them, okay, as long as you can make money. I said, like my one daughter wanted to be a photographer. And I said, I don't know how many people make money a photographer. I said, if you want to live in a house and eat food, you might want to rethink that.
Those are two things that sound good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Push her towards the beautician thing, man. Maybe she'll come in and she'll want to like put some color back in that beard and she'll just for men you up.
I like the white.
You know, it's funny. I've wanted to have my beard and hair dyed and I go to where I get my hair cut and I say, hey, I want to dye this. And they're like, no, you guys would kill to have that white hair. And I said, where? In the old folks? Where?
No, I mean, it's like perfectly snowy. It's not like
perfect.
It is perfectly
it's
snowy.
Not like, it's not like
brother. You got yourself a new nickname. You are perfectly snowy
it's not
in
like
my
the
world.
Dirty slush color. Some
dirty slush color.
It's like you're driving through the street and it just rained and there's like shit in the street.
Yeah, that's that awesome like late January, early February Indiana snow where it's all pushed at the side of the parking lot of the grocery stores and it's just dirty, nasty.
Boulders in it.
Yeah, that's I don't miss that shit.
I like that perfectly snowy. That can be my trans name.
Your trans name.
I can see you singing "I Can Survive."
It's funny you said that, John. I'm telling you, you're ever the professional here with the segues. I pulled a couple of news stories I saw this week in addition to our regular Florida stories, just that I thought I could maybe get you fired up, like I've seen you on podcasts of the Roundtable with certain topics from time to time. So
sure, let's do it.
Have you seen the story with the dad and the little 7-year-old boy who's fighting for custody because the mom wants him to transition?
Yes, and. So for me,
Give me that opinion.
Yeah, for me as a father, I don't know how they could tell me that I can't tell my son that he can't be a boy.
He's losing. The article I read, did you see this?
Nope.
You know why? I'll tell you why. Because men are dicks. Because we sit there and every one of us knows this is wrong. And we don't do anything to support this guy. If this was the other way around and the woman wanted him to be a boy, and the father said he was trans. The women's groups would rally around her and lift her up and support her and fight in court. And, and men don't do anything. We're like, dude, that sucks. Right. Got a beer? and I feel for this guy because, again, as men, we are protectors and we want to protect our son. But here's the bottom line. I don't know enough to know enough, but in the state of Texas, somebody should be out there and, you know, either the state or Child Protective Services and getting a handle on what's going on out there.
Sure.
Because you hear one side of the story where the mother's withholding love and unless he acts like a girl. And, you know, that is, to me, child abuse. I mean,
yeah,
she should be beaten. And then on the other hand, you hear the father saying something. So until we get all the, but somebody should step in and find out what's going on here.
In Texas, no less.
Well, see, here's the thing. They're twins. He has a twin.
Right.
Twin boys. So it's like she wanted a boy and a girl. So now she couldn't have a boy and a girl. She wants, now she's going to make a girl. Maybe. See, I don't know.
That's what I read, too. And, I mean, Dutch, you said you didn't know what was going on. This guy got divorced, and he's got split custody with his kid. Mm-hmm. And when the kid, the little boy, he's 7 years old, when he's with the mom, mm-hmm. the story is that he identifies as a girl. He wants to go by girl names. That he wants to wear girl clothes. And the mom wants to start putting hormone blocking on him to you know, start the transition. And the dad's fighting for full custody to mm-hmm. stop that because yeah. obviously, you know, as a 7-year-old kid, probably even if let's play devil's advocate and say that this was the whole, you know, everything was as it's being presented. 7-year-old kid. 7-year-old kid
he
can't make
that
decision.
Know what that is.
But then like John was saying is that when he's with the dad, that's not the case. Yeah, he responds to his own name. It's, you know, he wants to wear the boy clothes like he's a normal kid. But when he's with the mom, then, you know, it's this whole different thing. So it's up to the court to prove that, you know, what the mom is saying. But it sounds to me like the mom's full of shit.
I think that they should just let him be who he is. And then when he's old enough to make his own decision, he can do it then.
So we both have had 7-year-old kids. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And would you allow your 7-year-old kid to make any kind of decision in their life right now?
No,
because I don't know
not.
About you. My 7-year-old, you know, they did crazy stuff. And I have a friend of mine and just posted this the other day on social media and said, you know, their 6-year-old wants to marry says he's going to marry his first cousin. Well, that makes a lot of sense to him because he's 6 years old. He doesn't, you know, he plays with her all the time. She's mm-hmm. all over all the time. He says he's going to marry her. He says, you can't marry your first cousin. He says, well, by the time I get to marrying age, it'll be legal. And I thought to myself, he might not be wrong.
Do they live down here?
He might not be wrong. No, he does not live down there.
Well, I mean, like, my youngest says that he wants to marry Dutch all the time.
I'm your mom.
Yeah.
It's
and
gross,
he's like,
bro.
It doesn't matter. He called you his lover the other day. And
I know,
I was like, what the fuck, man? Where does he pick this shit up from?
Right, exactly. So are you going to allow him to make a decision about his gender? Listen.
No.
If you're 18 and you've been, I think I'm on record of saying this, if you've been 18 and or 19 and you're like, you know what, this whole standing to pee and having a dick is, you know, I've had enough
it's
of this.
Tiresome.
And then, yeah, fine. Okay. You know, you identify as a woman or something like that. That's fine. But let's call it what it is. It's gender dysmorphia. In other words, there's something in you that is rejecting your gender. And I'm not saying this because what do I know? Mm-hmm. It's people that have studied this and people that, you know, psychiatrists have studied this. And so now we're going to change the name of something and now we're going to protect it. I mean, you can do anything. I mean, you almost, a transgender person is untouchable. You can't say anything about them. You can't make fun of them. You can't, you almost have to be on bended knee at all time to the transgender. Oh, you have to bend. And if you say anything and they get upset, they get their panties twisted, male or female, then the next thing you know, they're writing letters, they're offended.
Oh, yeah. That's anything.
And I'm like, so I said something that offended you. First of all, I don't care.
Right.
That's number one. And number two, what does what happened? What happened? Did you get a zit? What happened when you got offended? What did this do to you? Can you not get up in the morning? Can you can't eat your Fruit Loops? What is going on that I upset you? Here's a ladder. Get over it.
Yeah, and that's, you know what, it used to bother me a lot more than it does now, like the whole cancel culture thing, which, I mean, it's stupid, you know, the way things are now. You go on Twitter, and I mean, like, that's just like going into the bowels of the internet. But it was pointed out to me recently, and it made a lot of sense, is that the smallest percentage of people have the loudest voice. It's not
Absolutely.
Everybody. It's not, yeah. The world isn't, is or I mean, the world is fucked up. I was going to say the world isn't fucked up as it is, or as we sure. thought it, think it is, but it, I mean, it is. But it's not, I mean, it's not such a bad state, you know, like, as, you know, we think it is. It's just a few people with a loud, you know, that yell the loudest, and, I don't know, welcome to the internet.
That's why the asshole sign is now racist, and that's why they remove black pumpkins from Bed Bath & Beyond.
That was another one I had pulled
Bath
for you.
Bath & Body Works.
Did you see the black pumpkins that were?
No, I want to hear that one, but just to wrap this up in a nice little bow. So, I, like I said, I've been on other shows, and there is a person that listens to podcasts, but he's not a podcaster, but he has transitioned from a female to a male. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not going to misgender you, and I'm going to call him. I'm going to use his proper pronouns. But again, I am on record of saying that children should not be given, you know, blockers, puberty blockers and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
You know, when you're old enough to make this decision, when you're 18 or something like that, that's when you make this decision, not now. And it's definitely not the parents. It's like the parents, it's almost like having a labradoodle or something like that. So that's what they're doing with their kids. It's more about the parents than it's about the children. So
sure.
Now if he's listening to this, which he won't, but he's listened to other shows I've been on, and he immediately sends an email and says that if you have him on again, that I won't listen anymore. And he wants me to apologize. And I said, first of all, no, because this is how I feel. Mm-hmm. This is my truth. My truth. In other words, my opinion.
Sure.
But he follows me from show to show to be outraged.
Wow.
So you might get an email. And so then, of course, on my show, which was unbelievably stupid, or it might have even been the Bear Cave, I don't remember. But what I said was, dude, you might have got the operation, you might have had the adidectomy, you might have the hormones and everything, but what they didn't give you is they didn't give you the balls, because a man has balls, and a man doesn't get offended by what another man says. He just sits there, he says, okay, you know what, fair enough, that's his opinion, fuck him.
Sure.
All right, I don't agree with him, fuck him. That's what a man does. So they can give you a beard, and they can make it look like a guy, and they can give you a penis, and I don't know how you pump it up, I don't know if you chicken wing your arm or whatever you do, and that's fine. And good for you if that's how you feel. I love that. But somebody else can have an opinion, all right? And you can't act like a cunt and then run around and try to get the guy canceled.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Listen, first of all, I'm not big enough to be canceled. Life canceled me 25 years ago.
Let's make no mistake. You are the goddamn podfather, and you can be canceled, okay? Let's just get that out there, all right?
I guess.
You mind your P's and fucking Q's, all right?
I don't care. I mean, if they want to cancel me, I'm on record. I'm like, this is how I feel, and these are my opinions. If you don't want to work with me because of my opinions, that's fine.
We've said it plenty of times too. Like, I don't care if you want me to call you, you know, by a certain pronoun, or if you want to be a man or a woman, I really don't give a fuck, but you have to be old enough to make that decision yourself. You can't be a 7-year-old child, because I mean, like, it, given the blockers, the hormone blockers, you don't know what kind of long-term health damage that's going to cause, even, you know. Not to mention they're 7 now, so what happens when they're 17 and they have a change of heart and they don't feel that way anymore? Yeah. Then it's already done. How do you reverse that? You don't. You know,
apparently you just stop giving them to them, and then their body goes back to whatever.
I'm sure it doesn't right. I mean, because like look at just say like UFC fighters, for an example, like the older UFC fighters that are on TRT. Once you start introducing testosterone replacement therapy.
Okay.
Once you start introducing that foreign testosterone into your body shuts down the natural production.
Why do they take that?
Because they're old. The steroids? They're old. They don't recover fast enough. They don't build muscle fast enough. We're fucking old men. Okay,
you start growing mad boobs.
That happened a long time ago.
I'm doing mad chest exercises to get rid of these. I'm not that old yet. Damn it. This is going to be a sad year, though, man. I turned 39 in about a month and a half. And that last year before I turn 40 is going to be, it's just going to be like the Black Parade.
Just turned 58, so.
And then the ray of sunshine just peeks through the dark clouds. Right. Thank you, John. Yeah. Thank you.
I laugh at when people say, oh, my God, I'm going to turn 40. I would kill to be 40 again.
Kill. See, hey, I'm friends with Riley, okay? He's 22. When I talk to him, I'm like, damn, I wish I was in my 20s again.
Sure, of course we do. But again, here's the thing about being in your 20s. Your 20s, you're old enough to do things, but you have no fucking sense. In your 30s, you get a little bit more sense. You have a little bit more. So between your 30s and your 40s, that's your sweet spot. You got some money. You have some sense. You might have some responsibilities and stuff like that, but you can go out and do things. You can make, you can handle bucket list items, and you can, you know, again, if you want a podcast or jump out of a plane or something like that, you got the money to do that. And so I'm saying right now that, you know, don't waste these time. You're going into 40, make those next 10 your best years.
Mm-hmm. You hear that? Let's do that.
Mm-hmm. We started.
Absolutely.
Cheers
we
it up.
We started already by going to St. Augustine.
We did. That was one thing we've been putting off for a while, so mm-hmm. We did.
Absolutely.
So
tell me about these culture-appropriated pumpkins.
The blackface pumpkins. So it's a real short blurb, but you sent it to me, I believe, Dutch.
Yep.
It says, retailer Bed Bath & Beyond has removed their black jack-o'-lanterns, which it's just black pumpkins, like envision a pumpkin, but it's black, the whole thing, not just the mm-hmm. front or anything like that, the entire, pumpkin. You know,
so in other
circumference
words,
of the pumpkin.
It's not carved up to look like Chris Rock or...
No, it's
Shaq.
It's a generic jack-o'-lantern, you know, triangle eyes, you know, jagged teeth, regular...
Oh, okay,
regular
so
thing.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's black.
But it's black.
It says they've removed their black jack-o'-lanterns from store shelves after receiving complaints that they were a form of blackface. News 12 reports that all black pumpkins with two white eyes were on display at a law firm in New York as decoration for Halloween. Community members complained, and the law firm, whatever, blah, 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 removed them. They said that they did not mean to offend anyone. Quote, we understand that someone complained about them, so we got word and immediately took them down. Then the NAACP got a hold of where they came from, which was Bed Bath & Beyond, and they got them removed from the store. It says, by now, I would believe everyone would know anything in blackface is offensive. Equally as offensive is a retail store that would have such an item in their inventory for general purpose. I think, like most people probably do, that this is a definite reach. This is a reach.
Here's the thing. I would go look. I would be in Bed Bath & Beyond, and someone says, "Oh, let's get a black pumpkin." I said, "Not on your life. There is no way that I'm putting a black pumpkin on my doorstep and having somebody egg my house." I mean,
I've seen white pumpkins.
There's pink pumpkins. There's teal pumpkins.
I've seen teal pumpkins.
Teal pumpkins means that there's no fucking gluten in Halloween treats, which is bullshit.
How do you
Are
know
you
that?
Kidding me? Now there's now the pumpkin's color
wow.
tells you what
if
the,
you have a teal pumpkin, that means that you have gluten-free
Where
treats
did you
for
see
the
that?
Children.
Where did you see that?
The internet.
Who's got? Do you have to walk down the street now with your legend? Like you have like, this is a greenhouse. We can go up here. Well, this is a pink one. Stay away from them.
It's just a fucking pumpkin. I mean, the little pumpkin baskets or whatever that you carry on come in all different colors. I don't see the problem with a black pumpkin. Maybe somebody that decorates for Halloween and they have like all crows and spiders and shit. It's just part of their decor. It's the black pumpkin. It goes with the shit, you know? Well, I don't see a problem with it.
Again, with the outrage culture, mm-hmm. they're always looking for, they're a hammer looking for a nail. So why give them a nail? Why give them this nail? I mean, I can understand.
It wasn't just the front of the pumpkin. It was the whole fucking thing.
That's what I was saying. It would be one thing if it was an orange pumpkin when the front of it was like was a different color. Let's just, if the front of the orange pumpkin was black, you might have a half a little piece of a leg to stand on. But the whole fucking thing was black. It looks stupid. I mean, let's just say. I mean, like, it looked dumb. I don't know why you would buy it anyway. I guess maybe like if you said, if you got like a scene that you're putting together with like, you know, gravestones or something and you wanted it to look extra gothic. I don't fucking know.
Well, and if you're painting an orange pumpkin and you're painting a face on it, what color are you paint you're going to use on an orange pumpkin? Black.
You're not painting anymore.
A black face on an anymore. Orange pumpkin.
You keep that evil away from me, Ricky Bobby. No. You keep that over. Not in my house.
Black
not
eyes,
in my house.
Black
nope.
mouth. Maybe
we
nose.
Are progressive. Okay.
Keep Stop that talking over me, idiot.
I have to.
You're not doing me any favors. Yep.
You don't want to be canceled over a pumpkin.
Yeah, I would see.
I got to be honest with you. I don't care enough about the black pumpkin to make a decision one way or the other. Right. I can see both sides of it. I really can. And if you need a black pumpkin, it kind of tells me a little bit about yourself, about you. Mm. You know, I mean, if I dig around in your garage or something, I might find a Confederate flag, maybe. I don't know.
Or a dead body. Yes.
Dang, he's looking at you. Maybe. He's looking at you, Dutch.
I'm saying in general, if you have to have a black pumpkin,
if
that's the hill you're going to die on, you might be a little racist. I don't know.
It's just a color, and it's not even the color of their skin. It's like black.
This is paint. This is John's practicing for his new stand-up routine. It's like Jeff Foxworthy. You might be a redneck.
Oh, but
you might be a little racist.
You might be a racist.
Yeah, you might be a racist. I think we could do something with that.
I wouldn't have a black pumpkin, but I don't see a problem with it.
I kind of
ugly.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like I said,
I think black people are ugly.
Well, black pumpkins.
Right. I think black pumpkins are ugly. Now, do I think black people are ugly? No.
Yeah, because all black is beautiful. You have to have that opinion, Melissa.
No, I got to tell you, there's some ugly black people, and there's some really, really attractive black people.
Agreed.
There is some ugly people.
Yeah, like that dude black, from last white? Week. Yeah. Damn.
Black, white. I mean, that guy that you had on the front week. Of your, that guy from last week. Holy mackerel.
I still think that he is going to turn up as some sort of new Halloween really? Monster.
Yeah.
He's going to be, he's a serial killer right there. That guy.
I wish he had a crazy story attached to him.
Yeah, it is the, when I saw it, I was like, holy cow, wow. There's talk about somebody that got that fell out of the ugly tree and hit every branch on the way down. That young man.
It was definitely jarring.
Yes.
Definitely jarring. Speaking of which, let's get into those Florida stories.
Okay. Hey, Beatrice.
Yeah?
Get your ass in here. These No Offense boys about to do Welcome to Florida again.
Let me grab the natty.
Oh, shit, and I thought my family was fucked up.
This week and every week, our Florida stories for our Welcome to Florida segment are sponsored by Official Clothing. Check out official.com. That's OHFISHL. Use code word HTNOS and save 25% off of your order of t-shirts, hats, and jewelry. Official Clothing, live by your own rules. First one I got for you, we're in Delray Beach, where an enraged naked man beat a peeping Tom to death.
To death.
And you see, I feel like I kind of tried to cultivate some stories again because I knew you were with us this week, John, where I knew that you were going to have a strong opinion because I want to awaken the demon in you tonight.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, if I have somebody looking in my window and I'm naked, that usually means I'm doing one of two things. Okay.
Only one of two?
Well, usually one of two. Either I'm having sex or with someone or myself. Oh. And so now I have someone in the window, and now I have to go outside to fight this person, and I'm naked. I'm going to be pissed. I'm bringing something. I can see beating somebody to death. I can see it happening.
That'd be funny.
I don't know
just
about that.
Tackle them naked.
I don't know about that.
Tackle them naked and smother them with your balls.
Yeah, wow. 58-year-old, that's premeditated. 58-year-old balls could smother a guy. I can understand that. But Yeah, so, I mean, I would need to know more of the story.
Well, yeah, let's get into it.
Did he keep it on his wife?
No, no. So the enraged boyfriend was naked and barefoot while he kicked and pummeled a man he caught exposing himself and peeping into his girlfriend's bedroom window. By the time Fort Lauderdale police got to the scene, 57-year-old Asad Akar was bloodied and unconscious on the ground.
Damn.
Victor... this dude's got a name on him. Victor Von Vickery II.
All right.
Triple VII.
Sounds like he's in Wreck-It Ralph or something.
Victor Von Vickery II had dried blood on his hands and body. His right foot was bloodied and swollen. A car who lived around the corner, just a two-minute walk away, was taken to the Broward County Hospital in Deerfield Beach and died about 90 minutes after getting there. Medical examiner later ruled that a car died from blunt trauma injury to his head and torso. This was back in July of 2018. Now, more than a year later, Mr. Von Vickery, 30, is facing a manslaughter charge. Mm-hmm. On that night of July 2nd, 2018, a little before midnight, Von Vickery and his then-girlfriend Samantha Hobie were in bed together, getting intimate, when they heard a scratching sound at their window.
Ooh, this wasn't quiet if you're peeping.
Yeah, well, exactly. It says this wasn't the first time that it happened, so Vickery was quick about getting up and dashing outside to catch the culprit. Last time the Peeping Tom got away before the cops got there, he caught him this time. Vickery squared off with a car and shouted for his girlfriend to call 911. Police said Samantha can be heard on the recording of that three-minute 911 call repeating, "That's enough, please stop." Aww. So, like, I mean, once he got his hands on him, that was it.
Well, that wasn't the first time.
And that's, yeah, he was a little charged up from that. Here's where it gets a little weird, though. It says both Vickery and Hobie gave voluntary statements to the police. Vickery's version of events had a car lunging at him, getting on top of him, and choking him. He told police that he kicked him and punched him a handful of times. When he tried to run, he chased him and held him down and waited for police. Mm-hmm. The girlfriend says that she told police that she got involved when she saw... her story was that the Peeping Tom was on top of the boyfriend.
Okay.
And when she saw him on top of the boyfriend, mm-hmm. he was choking him. So she grabbed a shovel and smacked him in the back of the head with a shovel.
Oh, fuck.
Quote, once or twice.
Bitch, more like seven probably.
But nearly 3 weeks later, she went back on that original statement and told the police that she'd never hit him with the shovel and never even touched him.
Was that a shovel?
That's he's a fucking professional, dude. I told you.
That's awesome.
Mr. Von Vickery, told his girlfriend to say that she struck him with a shovel. I think after he realized what kind of trouble he was in, he was trying to pass the buck, and then she went back on it. She showed up at police headquarters with a lawyer and changed her story. He was arrested Thursday and is currently in the Broward County Jail on $100,000 bonds. Mm-hmm. What say you?
You don't use that for an excuse to kill somebody. I get that you're angry. But he could have just held him down to begin with and waited for police.
I think that's a crime of passion. If I'm just speaking for myself, I think you're getting the better of you, especially if it's a repeat offense and it's happened before, you know, and mm-hmm. you maybe kind of had a hunch the first time and you couldn't prove it or you couldn't get at the guy and now you got him, you know, like you.
Yeah, but now you're facing a manslaughter charge. I don't know. I think that would be in the back of my head the whole time I'm hitting this guy like, I don't know, maybe this last one might be a little too far.
I don't think you've ever hit a guy like that. I think once you get going, you're in. You gotta see it through.
I think
you don't have the berserker rage either.
No, I think I would have hit you with a shovel.
For fucking what?
For getting on him too much, because I wouldn't want you to kill somebody.
So you're going to kill me?
I wouldn't kill you. I'd just knock you out.
That's love right here. That's love.
I think that's love. So basically what happened here, and Jason Almy, take note. Don't be peeping in people's window because this could happen to you. So for me, I think that there's a certain point where you get into a rage and you think you're doing the right thing by mm-hmm. fighting with this guy. But, you know, all you have to do is identify him and send the cops over and testify against him. There's probably enough evidence there. And again, you know, this guy's life's ruined and he's going to do jail time. Even if it's manslaughter, I mean, if he has enough defensive wounds on him, he might be able to plead self-defense. But the story's been changed so many times.
And it's a year later.
Like if you went with self-defense, if you go with self-defense from the beginning, he attacked me, but And then I had to, you know, I had to hit him with a shovel.
Well, for sure wasn't self-defense because he went on the offensive when he saw him outside.
Right, he ran out there.
Now, he was on his property.
He went out to, yeah. Florida, you have different laws. I think you can stand your ground. But again, you're chasing this guy. So if you know who it is, I mean, if he pulled his dick out and he's sitting there at your window, you call the cops and let the cops handle this stuff.
Because if he thinks that you don't see him, he's just going to sit there jerking off, I'm sure.
Now, yeah, if he's on the there's a difference if he's on the outside of the house or in the inside of the house. If he's in the inside of the house,
yeah.
Then all bets are off. You can hit him with a shovel. You can kill him. You can do whatever you want. If he's on the outside of the house, call the cops.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's life's ruined now.
He's 30 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
That's a tough one. Next one I got for you is not really in the same vein, but kind of. We're in Pinellas Park, where a Florida man was arrested for sexually assaulting stuffed animals at Target. Let that one marinate for a second.
I surprisingly don't have a problem with this.
A Florida man was arrested for allegedly sexually assaulting an Olaf stuffed doll from the wildly popular Disney movie Frozen in a Target store on Tuesday.
It's weird that it was a snowman.
It's lumpy. He had the booty. You ever see that snowman booty?
No.
It actually gives me an idea for a new kind of stuffed animal. You put a fleshlight in there. Find your favorite animal, put a fleshlight in there, and just
officially branded merchandise.
Yeah, exactly.
Cody Meter, 20 years old, is accused of placing the popular snowman on the floor and dry humping it until he ejaculated at the Pinellas Park store about 2 in the afternoon. It wasn't even late. I'm thinking it's like a late night deal. It's 2 in the afternoon, and he's just going for it.
That's what she said.
Like, why didn't they stop
That's the important part to you, huh?
And that there's so many like bigger animals that you could like. Well, hold on. Why was it a small?
He wasn't done with Olaf. Meter then found a stuffed unicorn in the store that he allegedly dry humped before the cops could get there. So he had two.
Oh my!
He got his fill on two. Cops say he admitted to his dirty deeds, saying that he did quote stupid stuff to the Olaf.
Take that shit. I mean, buy it for $8 and take it home and do your shit with it. Jeez.
Honestly, I find this guy a furry in training.
Could be. I mean, good call.
Yeah. See, he's like a furry in training. He's trying it out. He's like, you know what? I think, and you can tell he's 20 years old because he went back to back with two stuffed animals.
He had the
stamina. You know, an older gentleman needs a little time to recharge, maybe.
Meter's father told the cops that his son does have a history of this type of behavior. Which leads me to believe that, like, he's not all there. You know, he's probably
just horny.
Well, I mean, could
dumb things when they're horny.
Cops charged Meter with a criminal mischief and said that the stuffed animals had to be destroyed.
Yeah, burn them motherfuckers, Jesus.
Or at least you have to pay for them and take them home.
Yeah. I guess he's like, well, if I try to like take Elsa, then they might think I'm a pedophile. So let me just grab the snowman.
So now they think he's the word escapes me when you
bestiality?
Bestiality.
I mean,
the snowman is not an animal.
It's closer to an animal than it is to a human.
It's a magical creature.
Well,
I'm sure
the unicorn.
Oh, the unicorn. I guess they
the
both
unicorn.
Are.
Yeah, the unicorn is definitely an animal. So I would say, you know, it's bestiality. And listen, the kid's 20 years old. This is what he should be arrested for being fucking stupid. If you want to fuck a stuffed animal, you buy it, you take it the fuck home, and you fuck it at home.
John's giving instructions.
Fuck it in the store?
No.
How do you fuck it in the store?
I'm glad they got to him before he stuck the horn in his butthole.
Yeah, but it's a shame they couldn't get it to him before he let it go.
Oh.
Well, I mean, you know, at 20 years old.
That falls flat. Come on, man. Butthole. That was a good one.
I don't think John's seen Frozen.
Let it go.
So
yeah,
I'll let it go.
I'll insert the music there. They'll get it.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever fucked, John?
Oh wow, just going right at it, huh?
The weirdest thing. When I was like 12 years old, I think it was my baseball glove.
Damn,
that's rough.
That is rough.
Right? Yeah.
That's like
I was experimenting.
That's like the quality of like.
I just wanted something that didn't feel like my hand.
There you go. But you put your hand in it.
Did you oil it all up first and put it in the.
Yeah, I did. I'm not going to lie. I did oil
it
up a little bit. Yeah.
Put it in the oven for a little bit.
Get that. Get that.
Put the wool on it.
I didn't try putting it in the oven. But no, that's about it. How about you, Duchess? Let's turn around fair
Dutchie,
play.
Why don't you turn it? Yeah, turn it on her.
I don't think I've ever stuck anything weird in my vagina. I was too scared.
Except for me.
Yeah, you're pretty weird.
But nothing.
No, I'm not. I had a girl that's tried to fuck herself with a frozen hot dog and it got broke off because it defrosted.
You know, that's so funny because I recently.
I was always worried about getting yeast infections. I didn't really want to stick anything in there.
You were talking about that hot dog with two rings on an episode. And he was saying how, because I was like completely appalled by that. And I was like, that's not real. And he was like, yeah, it happened at my school too. Like it was like commonplace back in, you know, the late 90s when we were in high school. Like girls were just fucking hot dogs, I guess.
Well, I see.
Where did that come from?
You know, they have the thing with the cucumbers or like the squash or like a banana or whatever. But I don't know. It just never really appealed to me. I'm like, that cucumber looks kind of big. Like, I don't think maybe it's like an English cucumber and it would be fine.
What's an English cucumber?
It's the long skinny ones with the plastic on them. And that way you can still use it after because you got protection.
Well, yeah, you got to practice.
See, now that you could lube that up. You could put a little lube on that and go to town with that. And the thing about it is it never quits.
That's true.
That's true. one last Florida story I got for you. Huh? Me?
You got an answer, too.
Oh, I'm not adventurous. What do I fuck?
Did you hump a pillow one time? Eight?
I do that every night.
Oh, Jesus.
I wake up with pillows all over me.
You just like wake up and start humping them?
Yeah. Yeah. That's
interesting.
It's part of my routine. Don't judge me.
Well, our 4-year-old kind of climbs in the bed sometimes, so don't think he's a pillow.
that's out of bounds, babe. That's out of bounds. I'm going to flag that play.
Does this have a head? Okay, no, I'm not humping that.
Newport Richie, Florida man is down a hammer after throwing it in a fit of road rage.
Go buy a new hammer.
I don't think that's the problem.
Oh. where did said hammer end up?
In the other person's car.
See, I had just not that long ago.
I knew you had
incident.
Something. I knew you'd have something. That's why I picked this one, dude. I knew you'd have something.
Just let talk.
So it's one of those ones where, you know, there's construction and everybody has to merge into one lane. So you get in the lane where you're supposed to merge and then all these jerk-offs come up the inside of you and then they all try to get in front of you.
I get mad about it. I don't do it.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So, point at me.
Yeah, so I get mad about it, too. So what I do is I just put my bumper on it and a guy came up and he had a work truck and I have a truck. And he's trying to push over. Well, he pushed over and pushed right into my mirror and right in the side of my truck.
Damn.
Right? So now I'm blowing the horn and I got the window open and I'm spitting and calling him and his wife and his kids every name I could think of. And if I had a hot cup of coffee, I would have just thrown it. I mean, I was close enough where I could have just thrown it out the window and hit him right in the face with it.
Wow.
So from now on, what I do is I have in the truck, in the center console, I have a thing of pennies. That's probably about $1.50 worth of pennies in like a can with a lid on top of it. So if this ever happens again, I'm opening up the lid and the pennies are going to go right at the guy.
Nice.
Or whoever.
That's that Philadelphia shit, dude. That's that New Jersey Philadelphia shit. He don't fucking play.
Right.
John learned once. He had it happen to him now forever. He's going to have those. It might never happen to him again. It probably will never happen to him again. But he's going to have them pennies locked and loaded and ready to go.
Did you call the cops? Did the cops come out and be like, this motherfucker hit me?
You know what? I didn't because I was late for an appointment. And, you know, I didn't want to get into this whole thing. Because, again, when you get to be a certain age, you know, you're not fighting in the streets anymore. This had also happened to me when I was in my 30s. Mm-hmm. And I was going somewhere. I was going to pick up a date. And guy did the same thing, and I wouldn't let him in, and he's behind me, and he's blowing the horn, so we get to a stoplight, and he gets out of the car, and he starts coming, so I'm like, oh, shit. So I look in the back, and I played softball at the time, and there was an aluminum baseball bat in the back, so I grabbed the bat, and I start walking back towards him. He goes, oh, big, tough guy needs a baseball bat. I said, no, I'm going on a date, and I can't get dirty now. Let's go. And he's like, fuck you, and turn around, and got back in his car again.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a good line. I like that.
That kind of happened to us. Do you remember when we were young and we were coming back from that concert?
Oh, yeah.
And somebody did something to me. Somebody cut me off or something. And then they whipped around me. And as they were coming around me, I didn't even look over. I just had my finger up like this in the window. So as they drive by, I was flipping them off. But I was just looking straight. And I don't know. It just touched a chord with this guy. And he fucking lost his shit. He was, you know, racing us down the whole strip we were going down. And we come up to the red light. And he got in front of us, maybe about three car lengths coming up to the red light. And at, before his car was even coming to a complete stop, his trunk popped open. And he, like you said, he jumped out and he's going to his trunk to grab a bat. And I'm like, the fuck? And she starts freaking out. She's like, go. So I throw it in reverse and I'm going, fuck.
I mean, little brother's in the car too.
It's like midnight or better. So, I mean, there's no traffic on the road, you know, like, so I throw it in reverse and, you know, I whip back and I go, you know, turn around and go back the way we just came. And he follows me. He followed us. I swear to God, we were trying to shake this guy for maybe 20, 30 minutes. She claims he threw a brick at the car. Like, he didn't throw no fucking brick at the car.
He threw something because I had a dent by my window. I'm lucky. He's like, well, I'm lucky that it didn't go through the window.
Well, that's actually kind of what happened with this guy here. He, It's a real quick story. It says 32-year-old Jose Toro Negron got mad after he said he was cut off by another car, and deputies say that he got out of his car, punched the other driver's passenger side door, leaving a dent estimated at about $200. He then walked to the driver's side door and punched out the window. Damn. He went back to his car and got a hammer out of the trunk and, quote, intentionally and maliciously threw it at the other car, shattering one of the driver's windows while he was still in the car, according to the arrest report. Then he got in his car and drove off, but you know, they found him somehow because it says he's being charged with criminal mischief and throwing a deadly missile into an occupied vehicle.
A deadly missile?
It's a hammer. So, so I have another story. So my son was about 4 years old. He's in the back seat. He's in a car seat, and I'm driving in the slow lane. And this guy comes up, and he pulls alongside him. He tries to pass me, and he cuts me off where I have to slam on the brakes. Smoke off the tires. I thought I was going to hit the guy. Mm. And he pulls right into a restaurant. Ugh. So now my heart's pounding. I'm fuming. So I pull in right behind him and I get out and I'm like, I want to kill this guy. Mm-hmm. And he gets out and he's like, hey, he's like, so what? I cut you off. Big deal. Get out of here. So now I just want to bloody him.
Yeah.
And I'm now, but I'm in, you know, like I'm 40 now. So I know that, you know, if I beat the shit out of this guy, I'm going to jail. Mm-hmm. So in a fit of rage, he says, what are you going to do? He says, what are you going to do? So in a fit of rage, I'm standing next to his car. I took my hand and I just grabbed and pulled his side view mirror off.
Nice.
Damn.
And threw it at him.
Oh, I was going to say, tell me you took it with you, like a souvenir.
No, I threw it at him. And I got my truck and I left.
I pulled that shit off. This is mine now. This is a toll. God damn it.
Well, about, I don't know, an hour and a half later when I was home, I hear, and there's the police. And it cost me $125.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes
because I had to pay. Yeah, because I had to pay for to put the guy's beer back on again.
Man,
but there's a bright side to the story.
What's that?
So So in the police report, his name and his address was there.
Nice.
So I waited about a year, and I went back and I ripped the mirror off again.
Yes, yes. And tell me you took it that time. You took it with you.
That's the time I took.
Yes.
Yeah, because I had my fingerprints
fucking
on.
John.
Yes.
Hell
I took
yeah.
It with me.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Right.
Oh man. Let's take a quick break. I got to recharge after that one.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, folks. Big E here with some breaking news. My podcast, Karaoke Big E, was just named the number one karaoke podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Well, you shouldn't. That category definitely does not exist. My co-host Kevmo and I are in a league of our own when it comes to podcasts. So why don't you check out the world's best, well, probably only, karaoke podcast. Karaoke Biggie. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcast. Or you can check us out at KaraokeBiggie.com. Come on by every Tuesday and give us a listen. And remember, you can't be a star if you don't shine.
Do you like a little comedy in your sports or a little sports in your comedy? Do you want to listen to a sports show that's more like hanging out with your friends for an hour than it is like listening to the talking heads at ESPN? Well, tune into the Inner Circle Sports Show, a weekly dive into the latest news and notes from the sports world, fantasy sports and gambling, and lots of left turns into nonsense like you'll hear in this next clip.
Bro, try accidentally smoking fucking peyote for 6 months and then fucking come talk to me, dog. I thought I was stuck in a fucking perpetual state of deja vu for fucking 6 whole months, dog. I went to a Yankee game and I was freaking the fuck out. I was like, watch, Brett Gardner's gonna get up, he's gonna fucking hit a double and leg it out, or hit a single and leg it out for a double, he's gonna hit it out the fucking left field. And then it did happen and I was like, oh no, what the fuck is going on? But meanwhile, as Riley will tell you, that is just some regular ass fucking Brett Gardner shit. That shit happens 9 times out of 10 in 2009 when he was fucking on fire.
I'm still tripping on accidentally smoking peyote. Like, that seems like a very intentional fucking action.
You're sounding real fucking judgy right now, and I need this to be like a little safety net.
Inner Circle Sports, presented by the Inner Circle Podcast Network. Search for Inner Circle Presents on your favorite podcast app or check us out on the web at innercirclepn.com.
All right, coming back in, we're still sitting here with Mr. Podfather, John Buchanis. John, I don't really know how you and I ever started communicating in the first place. I started thinking about this the other day, and I couldn't never pinpoint it back. I discovered you through Unbelievably Stupid, and I want to say it was via Randall Fowler. But I feel like we talked before that, and I can't put my finger on it. And I know you've been on 72 shows just this year alone, so I don't know what you were doing before that. I was just gonna say, give me a little bit of the backstory on John Buchanis.
So I'm trying to think. It was a couple years ago, and a friend of mine from college. We decided to do a podcast. Well, I've been harping on him ever since I started podcasting. Because I was going to college for radio, TV, film, and then I got into the elevator business. It's a whole crazy story. But I always wanted to do a comedy radio show.
Okay.
So when I got out of the elevator business, I found podcasting, and I kept saying to him, we need to do a podcast. I know how to do this now, and we can do this. And so he's like, I don't have time. So finally he says, okay, I got time. So we did. It was called the Brand X Podcast, and it was a lot of fun. And about episode 102, he just came up to me and just said, you know what? I just don't want to do this anymore. I don't have time for it. I got a lot of things going on. I said, okay. So we ended that show. So then it was the trying to find another co-host. So Unbelievably Stupid, we brought a woman. Her name was Tara, and she was more liberal. She was very liberal. And then my cousin Jimmy, who he's older than me, and we started a show. And one of the things about podcasting is when it works, and when it doesn't, it's time to just like cut bait and go.
Sure.
So we did about 25 episodes. It wasn't going anywhere. The numbers were dropping. So I said, you know what? Let's just kill this. It's a lot of work. And if you're not getting the numbers, it's time to just kill it.
Yeah. Oh, so you transitioned the first show into Unbelievably Stupid.
Yeah. Well, I'd taken a hiatus because I just didn't have a co-host. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, I love doing this kind of show where we talk about stories and we can bring in our experiences and we can make fun about, you know, and joke about it.
Sure.
And that's the kind of show I want to do. And the other thing is that I feel like I'm in my 50s now. And there's a point now where I don't care about the cancel culture and I don't care about cultural appropriation. I'm going to say things the way I mean to, because if people are allowed to have their truths, then I'm allowed to have my truths. Mm-hmm. So that's the show I'm looking for. And to try to find a co-host that you gel with, it's really hard. It's hard.
Oh, for sure.
So, yeah.
We've been through a couple. Well, I've been through a couple. I've been here, obviously, from episode one. She came in at episode 50 or so when we lost our first co-host. Now Jason's gone, and it's just the two of us. So, I mean, like, we've been doing this 2.5 years, and this is our third version of the lineup.
Yeah, so for you, I heard about you, I think it was through Randall, and so I started listening to the show, and I love the show. And to be honest with you, the Brand X podcast and Unbelievably Stupid was kind of the same thing. We would take stupid stories. I mean, you have the Florida stories, but we were using Florida and stories throughout the country. Right. So we were kind of doing the same show. And I really enjoyed the show that you did. And so I was a fan. I was a fan of your show.
I appreciate it.
And thank you. And I mean, you're welcome. And it's, you know, like I don't even know what to talk about. So the thing is that, you know, I listen to your show, but one of the hardest things as a podcaster is I listen to your show and I have the story ready to go. And then you do the story. And I'm like, I can't do that story now. Aww. So I got to take it off the board, you know? So it's one of those, but then sometimes you can, because you have a different take on it than somebody else does.
Oh yeah.
I don't know.
There's plenty of room for all of us with that though, too. I mean, like, I'm sure, you know, like,
you've done the same story as the Sam PC sometimes.
Well, and it happens a lot with Joe B, because Joe B runs through a lot of headlines, and sometimes he gets them the week before us. Sometimes he does stuff that we've already done, I'm sure there's a little overlap, but I mean, there's probably a lot of non-overlap too. So, I mean, you got to just do your show as if no one else, you know, has heard it before, you know?
Well, but I'm a super podcast listener. Not only do I edit 10 to 15 podcasts a week, I probably listen to 15 to 20 podcasts a week.
That's pretty good. I mean,
four a day.
Yeah, that's pretty
good. Yeah, it's 4 a day. I go through 4 a day. I listen to them at 2x speed. And
wow, I could.
Yeah,
I've tried that before, and it just sounds too weird. Especially it is like weird. Listening like if I listen back to myself on 2x speed, I do that nervous laugh a lot. Like I'll say something and I'll go ha ha ha, and then on 2x speed, I sound like Woody Woodpecker, and it's very crazy because I'll be like ha 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 ha.
Some I listen to at 2x speed, some I don't, but. I do. I listen to a lot of them. I'm a fan of it. So I think we really started communicating through when it was podcasted at Roundtable because you became a judge. Yeah. And I was always wondering, you know, what did Chris think? You know, who did Chris think won? And matter of fact, I can't believe Randall has not tapped you for a judge to be a judge yet.
He won't because I have affiliations and he wants somebody that's completely
honestly,
impartial.
I got to be honest with you. I think that you would be impartial. I think you could put aside.
I absolutely would. I'll show you. I can send you a picture of my scorecard from the All Women's episode this past week where the lovely Duchess was a competitor and I didn't have her win a round until like the sixth question. Mm-hmm. Like she didn't have a mark on my score sheet. And that's my wife. I go to bed with her and she was losing. She was losing big time, you know, and it hurt me so bad because you can see how my laptop is now. We had the monitor that, you know, you're on right now down on the table and we had them back to back almost like, you know, battleship style. And I was sitting on the other side recording her and she couldn't see me and I couldn't see her. And I'm making my marks and whatnot. And I'm trying so hard not to like put, you know, something, hold up a piece of paper over the screen or like give her a tip or something. I'm like, come on, girl, you're fucking losing it.
Well, and that's what I like about you, though, because you don't hold any punches either. Like,
no,
if I'm doing a bad job, then
yeah, and
just let me know. And I'm not the type of person that takes like it rolls off my shoulders. So
well, with
just do better.
With this, I mean, like, I don't know what it was. I mean, maybe because it was the first show really of its kind when you guys launched it to begin with, that it was like a game show. And that mm-hmm. struck a chord with me because I'd never had anything like that before as a podcast. And it was something I could play along with. And I knew the people on it. So I immediately was grabbed by it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like even that first episode, you know, it was Jody B and it was Jason Almy. And Jason Almy's one of my best friends in podcasting and even outside of podcasting. I mean, like we talk every day and I had him losing. You know, like, I'm like, I didn't score for him, like, because I didn't feel like he won the episode, you know? And I think that kind of built that line of trust in Randall's eyes to where he's like, hey, this guy's buddy was on here and he didn't even fucking vote for him to win. So, I mean, I think, you know, he's got the integrity of the show first and foremost, which, I mean, it's not, I'm not even affiliated with it. It ain't even my show. I mean, I shouldn't even give a fuck.
Yeah, so I finally won one episode, and the next day I wanted to know what you thought. I said, "Chris, did I win on your scorecard?" And you're like, "Nope." I'm like, "Fuck!"
So you got the real win, but
I wanted it on your scorecard,
and that one I this is one thing too. I told Randall the other night. Because when I sent him a picture of my scorecard, I didn't have any marks for Brooke. And after I sent it, I was like, "Ooh, shit, that's not going to land well." You know, I'm saying his wife didn't get any rounds. And it's not that she wasn't good or didn't get any rounds, but the way I explained it to him was, you guys being on every single week, I kind of, it's almost like I become numb to that, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
The way I explained it to him was, when I watched American Gladiators, I was never cheering for fucking Laser. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I'm not going to vote for the guys that win or lose, they're coming back next time. You know what I mean? It's not that you didn't win a round or wouldn't, you know, do well, because I always said you got the short end of the stick every single time.
Yeah. Well, the thing I love about the podcast at the Roundtable is you don't know the questions. So you kind of have to be able to have an opinion on something at a drop of a hat. Mm-hmm. And there's not too many topics that I don't have an opinion on. I mean, if you get into superheroes and stuff like that, it's not my cup of tea. So, but normally I can have an opinion on something real quick, and you have to be able to think on your feet, and you have to be able to, it's almost like it's like a debate, to be quite honest with you. So the one with the women, at first, I think that everybody was timid. They didn't know what to do. In about halfway through, they started coming out of their shell and they started talking. Heather, you know, she was ready. She come out of the box. She was punching and swinging and diving, and she didn't, you know, she was using, you know, a lot of sexuality in her answers and stuff like that. And I think the other ladies, you know, they didn't feel that way, number one. And number two, they just, you know, they were kind of feeling it out. Now, mm-hmm. You know, Brooke has been through these, and I honestly thought Brooke did well. Like I said, there were some of the questions, and for me, it was the first time I wrote questions for, you know, the show.
How was that?
And it was tough. I'm not going to lie. I probably wrote 25 questions, wow, and then brought those 10. So then in the chat, we had Man Brain Dave's wife in there, and she's like talking about how the questions suck and this isn't funny and all. And as I'm doing the show, I see this in the chat, and now I'm starting to steam. So I'm like, hey, bitch, you can take a fucking hike. And no one's telling you to stay here, all right? Go watch a fucking rerun of Happy Days or something. You know what I mean?
That's not what
I said.
That's the hard part, too, is because people, and not necessarily just her, but I mean, I saw those, too. And I'm thinking to myself, like, nobody on this panel right here is a professional entertainer. Like, this is not their, right, their, you know, main line of, you know, what they do. I mean, like, you weren't really feeling it, I don't think, until maybe you got in front of the camera, and then maybe you were feeling the pressure a little bit. But I mean, even
it was harder than I thought.
Yeah, well, for sure harder than you thought. But
especially,
I mean, like,
when you go first,
even all through the day, like, I was trying to like pick her brain a little bit, like, you know, like, hey, you know, like, what are you going to do? And she's like, how do you prepare for this? I'm just going to go out and do what I do. And I'm like, okay,
you can't prepare.
Okay, Iceman, you know, like, fucking go out and do what you're going to do then. And then after we're done, she's that's the first thing she said. She's like, man, that was so tough. That was, and that's what everybody says.
Oh, yeah, and you go back and think about what you could have said different, what you could have done.
Yeah, I try to have a topic that somebody would have a, you know, passionate side, one side or the other. And I didn't mix, you know, I figured the first one was like when if your husband dies tomorrow, how long before you start dating? And not dating, but finding companionship. And then when do you take that companionship public? So I thought that was one to come out of the box with. And then, you know, I went after some topics, you know, as far as abortion and other things that I figured that were, you know, women are passionate about. And I think it sometimes, and Dutchie, you can correct me if I'm wrong, sometimes people, you just don't want people to know your opinion because you're going to be judged on your opinion.
And that's where, why if I was president, I wouldn't do shit.
Yeah, see, that was the other one. I figured, okay, ladies, you want a lady president. Here we go.
Now she's a crazy
what are the
bitch.
First three things you're going to do? And everybody said, I'm not going to do anything. I was like, well, what the fuck am I going to, why are we going to
elect a lady president? You share the same genitalia, John. You got to vote for her just because she's a woman.
Well, weed would definitely be legal. So
what?
I said weed would definitely be legal because that's what
that was everybody.
That
was like,
everybody's
yeah,
free square.
Yeah, we're gonna legalize weed. Then what? Well, yeah. I don't know.
Feed all like, the hungry children and spend the money exploring the ocean because it don't matter what the fuck you do.
So, and I thought her answer hurt her on that one because she was just kind of like, it doesn't matter what you're gonna do because it's not gonna fix anything. And da da da. And after we were done, I was like, you know what? I bet that dinged you because that could be kind of construed as like a pro-Trump standpoint, you know? And I mean, maybe that's not the best light for you to be standing in. You know?
I think that anybody could have just said, hey, you know, just pick three things that really piss them off about the you know, what's going on in this country and having something
opposite.
To change that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, that would have been, you would have hit it out of the park. And so I really wanted to give somebody a question with they could sink their teeth into.
Mm-hmm.
That was what I was trying to do. And again, you never know. You know, sometimes they, you know, they can have a great question when I'm on there. You never know what question is going to make me go, like, make me lose my shit.
See, that's why, like I said in the beginning, I was trying to pick stories tonight that maybe I could do that because I think one of the more memorable ones where you did, I want to say, was something about like the child sex dolls because you had the line that was like quoted for the next month after there where it was like send them straight to their maker or something like that. I can't even remember at this point because it was so long ago, but I remember when it first happened, like we were laughing and quoting that for weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Almy said that he would put a camera in the doll so he could watch the doll being, you know, defiled. And I'm like, unlike Jason, who just wants to sit there and jerk off while the guy's molesting his doll. I said I wanted to grab the doll by the ankles and beat the pedophile to death with the doll. That's what I think I said.
Nice.
What I said. Yeah, that to me is when you take as an adult and harm a child, to me, that is the ultimate. Like, in other words, nothing would make me want to string a guy up from a telephone pole more than finding some guy molesting a child.
Because we're all parents. And I mean, I think that
exactly.
You put yourself in that, you know, what if it was me?
My kid.
Yeah. So it's real easy to have that, you know, just flip and see red.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you. I hear that.
Yeah.
Dutch, how was it for you to actually be on and competing?
It was fun. I had a lot of fun. But like I said, it was harder. And then I went first on the president, because that was a really good question. But since I went first, I couldn't think of anything off the top of my head.
It's, yeah, and you know what? It's tough. And like, I was trying to give you pointers because...
I'm not even going to look at you because then...
No, beforehand.
I feel like that's cheating.
No, no, no. But I mean beforehand, before we started. Because somehow, some way, my dumbass has been on twice and has won twice. And I'm not what you would call a quick wit. I've recently been told that I'm not entertaining or funny. So I mean, how I won? It's out there. It's out there. Yeah, it's the internet. So I mean, all of those things aside, in spite of that, I've won twice. So I'm trying to give her a little bit of, you know, like, hey, this is what I did, kind of thing. Because sometimes you don't necessarily, I don't want to say you don't necessarily believe your answer, but like, if I'm going third or fourth and the first two people say similar shit, I'm flipping just to be different. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that as the podcasters of the round table go forward, I mean, I think if, you know, there's a second season, I mean, we're going to go until we have a champion. Mm-hmm. And then if it comes back as a second season, I really think it needs to have all four people. I think the reason we had two regulars because we didn't really know how it was going to go.
Yeah.
And we needed two people in there that could, you know, keep things going. Keep things rolling, think on their feet, stuff.
Well, and be reliable. Because, I mean, if one person drops out and you got four people, then it sucks.
We've only had one time where one person dropped out, didn't show
twice.
Up.
Didn't show. Well, yeah, you had to replace Michelle this last time.
Oh, yes.
Or, I'm not even affiliated.
But that was ahead of time. I mean, we had one where it was DJ from The Untrained Eye. I mean,
that was the episode you won, right?
Yeah, it was actually. The episode I won. The person was supposed to be there. They never showed up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, poor DJ, he had to come cold. But
and did great.
Again.
And did great.
Yeah, I think he did great. Matter of fact, you're on your, if I remember correctly, you gave him the win.
I did. I on my scorecard, right. I did. And you know what? See, I think, and I talked about this with Dutch after she was done too, because like, you know, and I can relate to my episodes. Once you come off of there, you're so jazzed up and charged up with adrenaline after doing it that you're not sleeping. So
no, I was up till 2 in the morning.
Yeah, we went upstairs and we were laying in bed just talking about it. And I was like, her grenade to me, and maybe I'm biased, but her grenade to me was, I think, the best grenade in the history of the show.
Because, I'm not going to disagree with you because I was waiting for her to wind up, and when Dutch threw that grenade, I was like,
"Well, that's Heather, perfect. Heather was begging for it. She was almost John Jones-esque showboating, or you know, she's like,
how many grenades?
Nobody's going to throw a grenade, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, fucking do this shit, you know, like I'm going crazy, and she's like, you want one? Fine, boom, bitch, and I'm like, yes, that's what's up. But then see, like, I weight that heavier. So I'm like, in my mind, that was like a big moment. So I'm like, you know, I gave her a little bit of extra juice for that.
Riley was like, Dutch on the win.
Well, and then, you know, relating it back to DJ, the point I was trying to make was, you know, him coming in such short notice, I maybe might have gave him a little extra juice just for, you know, like, hey, you stepped up to the plate, big dog, and you did pretty good. So, you know.
So what I have to say about the podcast at the round table, Randall came up with this idea, Randall. From Married AF, and I thought it was a great idea. And the thing, I mean, we had controversy, and we had to actually make some changes in the show on how we did the judging and stuff like that. And I, you know, I think the controversy hurt the show in some ways. I kind of do. I mean,
I think it hurt the community. I don't think it hurt the show.
Well, maybe, yeah. I think the community, and you know, it's unfortunate because, to me, as podcasters, I never, like, in other words, I don't consider I'm in competition with any podcaster.
No.
I'm in cooperation with every podcaster. So I feel that, you know, there was times where some of the people that were in the show, just tried to take the show down and make the show unlistenable. And that infuriated me at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie.
It infuriated quite a few people. You weren't the only one.
Right. So I said, you know, if that's the way it's going to be, then I can't trust anybody from that network.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the network, Inner Circle, you guys have been very supportive of the show. And, you know, I love that. And so you know, I think bringing, and now we're having people that are listening to it and they're, you know, from out of the networks that don't know us, they want to come on. And I think if we start doing that, you know, that the show can really be, but it's, you know, like I said, it's a lot of work. And here's the other thing. Now technology's catching up. So with StreamYard, which is what we use to broadcast on Facebook Live, now there's a record option. So we can record right there because we were recording everybody's audio and sending it. And then what would happen is somebody would either screw up their audio or not send it. So now I got three tracks.
Right.
And I got to take the other person out. And I just decided, matter of fact, just yesterday, because I'm so far behind with it, trying to get the shows ready, that if I don't have all the tracks right away and I can't do that right away, that we're going to pull the audio from Facebook. I'm going to process it. And it's that's it. It's as good as it gets.
You know, I mean, StreamYard actually is pretty good. I mean, like, most people use Skype, and I mean, like, when we first started out, we used Skype for our calls, but then when you guys start over at Civilized Creatures started using StreamYard, we checked it out, and, you know, we're figuring out, you know, if we wanted to use it, and Riley and I do our sports show every week, and we don't multi-track that. Like, you know, we just take it straight from StreamYard, and you don't get any of that dropout like you do with Skype. It's right off the bat, it's just a pretty good finished product. It doesn't sound bad at all. So, I mean, you can get away with that.
Yeah, again, it's like anything else. Your internet connection has to be, you have to have a good internet connection. It's better to be hardwired in than wireless. And you can have really good, but trying to be, when you have four different people on a show, trying to control the quality of the audio, it's just impossible. Unless you have people, and again, I'm an audio snob. So I get my panties all twisted up when people don't. You know, we had
sound
talked the last one with the women. Stephanie was supposed to be over at the studios for Drinks with Larry. Mm-hmm. And at the last minute, she's at her house. And I'm like, can you record? And she's like, no. So now I have everybody's recording except hers. So now we got to go back to the Facebook recording. And again, it's just, you know, again, it's just me being anal retentive. But I think that when you're, so if you're watching the show, it makes no difference. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to listen to the show as a podcast, I really do believe that audio quality content is king, but audio quality is queen.
Sure.
And you really do need both.
I stopped listening to some podcasts because their quality is just too, like, I can't, like, I try. One's either really loud and one's really quiet, so I turn it up, and then the other one's like screaming, and I'm just, I quit.
It's like, hard.
I just don't listen.
Right. I don't, it's got to be really something riveting for me to sit through a bad sounding podcast. Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, one of my passions is to take independent podcasters that have a show that have really good content, and maybe the show just doesn't have good audio, to be able to get in there and try to clean things up and give them, you know, different ways to make the show better. That is really my passion. So, like I said, the thing that we just did with the roundtable and the thing with StreamYard now has a recording option. I don't know if it does it on the free version, but on the paid version, you can just go in and record right from StreamYard, and it comes out in MP3. And I got to tell you, I've tested it three times now and took the audio out, and it is really, really good audio. So I think as we go podcast at the roundtable next time, we're just going to record right from StreamYard and just use that so it can go up right away. I'm the fly in the ointment trying to get those shows up. And
so, well, that'll definitely help you for sure.
Yeah, so now that I realize that, you know, if we don't have all the audio, I'm just going to go grab the audio from Facebook and then just use that.
Yeah.
So it's been a lot of fun.
How do you like competing? You're on every single episode.
I liked it. And again, a lot of the podcasters are my friends. Mm-hmm. So, me and Doug from Who's Right mixed it up pretty good that one night.
Right.
And
I should have lost to him is what the internet says.
Honestly, here's what I think happened that night with Doug and myself and you. And who else was this? Who was the? Oh, Brooke.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm so stupid. So here's what I think happened. I think what happened was me and Doug started haymaking each other, and we kind of took each other out. And with that, you know, you were just staying steady. Yeah. No. I'm not saying that by default. I'm staying by being steady and not going after Doug or I, not playing into our game.
Yeah.
You were answering the questions. Doug and I were trying to one up each other. I think that's what hurt us in the judging.
I've heard that. You know, but see, here's the thing with competing too, and I don't know how you feel about this, but like I feel like sometimes win or lose, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Because like I said, I won that episode and I've heard how I shouldn't have. And then certain people that have won other episodes, you know what I mean, obviously shouldn't have. So it's like, you're kind of fucked either way. It turns into a popularity contest regardless. It takes away from your actual performance on the show and just becomes of what squad do you roll with and, you know, like, well, it's all the bullshit politics.
That's why Randall tries to get somebody that's, you know, unbiased.
Impartial for a judge, right?
Yeah, for sure. And like everybody says, and it's, I've heard it 100 million times, everything's subjective. So sure. Even though somebody wins, somebody else might feel like they should have won or didn't win or whatever. What? So that's the risk you take being on, and that's what happens when it gets put to a judge.
See, and I beat this to death when we had Jody on right after the episode that we were on together. Mm-hmm. And I'll say it again. My biggest regret from that episode is my reaction to the two of them doing their voices and their tactic at how to do that. Because, I mean, they turned me into a meme, for Christ's sake. I mean, there's pictures of my face from the video floating around. You know what I mean? Like, I turned myself into a joke. I don't care. But what I'm saying is at the time, I didn't realize that, like, that was just them shooting their shot, you know, to try to differentiate themselves, where I was kind of like John said, I'm like, I feel like they're coming on trying to, you know, fucking take it down from the inside kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, like they're not giving the respect, you know, to the competition that I felt. And I mean, who the fuck am I, you know?
Well, then after though, Jody said Randy knew that he was going to do voices and shit. So I don't fucking
That's
know.
The 9/11 was an inside job shit, dude. There's three versions, you know, like everything,
yeah,
the fucking his side, her side, and the truth.
I got to tell you, that show, you think you were a meme. That show, I was spitting at the screen. I was so hopping mad at what was going on the show. And so, I mean, I went on social media and I blasted people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just blasted people. And Jody was one and Dave was the other. Mm-hmm. And listen, again, part of this is, okay, so now I'm going to get into this. So there's no, there is no secret that Dave Chaffee from Man Brain Podcast and I, we've had words and we're not really, we don't really like each other. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I wasn't sure if that was real or not.
No.
I thought that might've been like a pro wrestling type thing.
For me, like I wouldn't walk across the street to piss on him if he was on fire.
Okay.
So, and you know, maybe, so the other thing with Dave is that, you know, he actually did try, but I think Dave is more, he has to write his stuff down. He's not more off the cuff, and that's not Dave's fault. It really isn't Dave's fault, to be quite honest with you. And I wanted him to be more spontaneous. Mm-hmm. So then we went to the judges, and you know, Dave is really connected through the internet, through Twitter and stuff like that, and he was killing people.
You mean the voting? Oh yeah, yeah.
And to the point where I did everything, I told people to stop voting for me and start voting for Adam, just to try to get Adam to. And every time Adam would get close, Dave would pull away. Mm-hmm. So Dave won that fair and square. And then that made me realize that that's not the way to pick a winner. That's not a way to pick a winner. So, and I think what happened was when I went after Dave, the way I do, I think I got Jody's, you know, back up in the air. And Jody had he ran the rally around his boy. Now, I didn't know that they were going to do characters. If you listen to the episode of Po' Boys where Randall and Brooke are on there, Jody said several times he was going to do characters. So, and when I heard that, I was like, fuck, now I got to call Jody up and apologize to Jody because I blasted Jody too. Mm-hmm. I mean, the man said he was going to do it. And I didn't realize, I didn't know that he said he was going to do it. So I had to call up and apologize to Jody. Now, I like the fact that he did it. No, I do not. But the man said he was going to do it and he did it. So I can't, you know, no one told him not to.
Right.
And so that's it. So Jody and I are okay. And I don't know what the thing is with Dave.
Like I said on our episode together with Jody, I'm like, I don't care that you did it. I just feel like you did it
wrong time.
Well, it was, I felt like he was falling on his sword for Dave, you know, like there's no,
exactly.
So there's no reason why you have to do that. Dave may have to do that because like you said, he has to prepare more to get his stuff down. So if he can use the character voices as a crutch to be, you know, more entertaining and differentiate himself for a potential judge, then I get that, you know, like right. I expect it from him. I don't expect it from Jody. Jody, you know, he's quick wit. He's fucking, you know, Royal Rumble podcast shit, you know, like he'll get out there and mix it up with anybody. He doesn't need to do that. But right. again, it wasn't my, you know, opinion, or that's all it was my opinion. I mean, like, who am I? If that's what he wanted to do, that's what he wanted to do. And it shouldn't have affected me like it did. And I mean, that's my big regret.
Well, basically what they did was they took each other out. So then it was, you know, you versus Brooke, because nobody was going to pick them.
Right.
There was no way anybody was going to pick them. So then it was just, you know, you versus Brooke. So again, you know, after that episode, you learn what you do and you learn what you don't do. If I was Randall at that point, and he told Randall, so you can't really do that. But if I was running the show and somebody did something where I felt was being detrimental to the show, you know, on StreamYard, you have a button, you can take them out of the show. I would have just disqualified them right from the show. I would have just disqualified them. So I'm sorry. Now we're down to three.
Yeah.
They're done.
They mute me on sports all the time. Only now I'm signed in, so I have the admin powers too. So I just bring myself right back in.
That's right.
But no, that's, I mean, what I was kind of saying, you know, is, you know, we're all kind of, we're not as thick skinned as we need to be, I think, with this, you know, because like certain people, well, I mean, even you came on, and this is what really was eye opening because you came on and like you were getting so hyped up about you're an assassin and you're just, you don't have any friends and you're not going to take any prisoners and fuck everybody. And then as soon as you found out that you didn't win, you were fucking bummed.
Not a little bit.
I
was a fucking crying about it.
I didn't say you were crying about it, but it affected you more than I thought it would, because I thought you'd be like,
I wasn't bummed that I lost. I was bummed that I could have done better.
Sitting in bed going, if I would have answered this differently, right. If I would have did this differently, and I'm like, wow, she went from, hey, I don't really even care, to fucking dissecting the game film,
right.
You know,
That's what happens. Absolutely.
Well, yeah,
what happens.
That way, if I'm on again, then I know what to do to be better.
Well, and Randall tell me that you are going to be on the Battle Back episode with Joe B. So you are going to be on again.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think you did good. I think like John said, I think that midway through the show, it kind of, you know, it snapped, and you were like, hey, I'm on this fucking thing right now. I need to do this because
helps when you go second or third. So at least
it does. And I'll show you my card. Like, I had her rattling off she had no marks, and then she had like 6, 7, 8, 9 or something, like all in a row, you know? Mm-hmm. So like she came on strong to me.
I think that if I could give anybody that's going to be on the show, just be you, be genuine, and don't hold back your opinion.
Yep.
If you're holding back your opinion because you're afraid that somebody's going to say something about you, then it's going to affect your answer and people are going to realize it. So that, again, I think that you know, the second time you're going to do this, you'll do better. I mean, for me, you know, I'm not going to lie. I was getting my feelings hurt. I was like, fuck, I think I did way better than this. So finally, before I quit the show, I said, okay, if I feel good about my performance, then that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go. What's he? Well, I can't see it. I see
my
He's got nothing. He should be asleep.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, it's not that I was holding back my opinion. I just couldn't think of anything good to say. So I figured it'd be better just to say a little bit.
I hear you.
What do you mean?
Well, like I said, the presidential thing.
Yeah.
I didn't really have. I don't care. I mean, I give my opinion, and like I have no friends, so.
Yeah, but see, that's one of the little pointers that I tried to give to you is like, I understand that you view it as a question, you're going to answer it. But it's not a yes or no type thing. You have to paint a picture.
Right.
And I think this may have fucked you because I used the example of Jason. And you were like, in your mind, you're like, oh, well, that's going to be, I just have to go round and round and round and round and round.
Why would you think that about me?
Because you've been very vocal about that.
You gave me an example of Jason Almey. I'm not going to be like Jason Almey. I'm not going to talk for 3 minutes.
You need to paint more of a picture is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And I think that next time around you will.
Yeah, I think I'll do better.
So, okay. So here we go. It's been a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
Dutchie, you're now the first woman president of the United States. What are the first three things you're going to do to make the country better?
Kill all the illegal immigrants.
Jesus.
Okay,
Christ.
There we go.
Because then they'll never, their kids can see, you know, what they did, and they can come into America legally. Actually, they're already here legally. So then maybe, all right, so I kill all their parents. And
well, you got to say weed. Weed's the free square. Everybody says weed. You got to say weed.
Yeah. All right, so now you got one more.
I would explore more of the ocean.
That's what she said that night, laying in bed. She was like, I would earmark this amount of money of the budget to exploring the ocean and this and that. And I'm like, why didn't you just say that? Even if you didn't win, at least you would have answered it. Not say, well, it doesn't even fucking matter because what is it going to change anyway, you know? Jesus Christ.
I got to tell you, Dutchie, I still won't vote for you, but at least you got three answers and stuff.
Yeah, and I would really kill everybody.
But and here's one thing to really show how subjective it is. I'm saying that's one of the questions that hurt her. Randall texted me and was like, Dutchie ain't wrong, man. That was a good answer. And I'm like, it just goes to show you, man. Like, everybody that's watching this is seeing something completely different, you know?
All right, so now I'm going to ask Chris. Chris, you're the president of the United States. What three things are you going to do? To change the country.
You honestly know what I'm going to do, man.
Legalize weed.
Weed, aliens, aliens.
Aliens, aliens. What does that do for the country? God, maybe that is a shitty question.
I don't care. Well, here's what I'm going to say. I don't care about the country. I'm going to be selfish with this shit. I want the knowledge. I want to know. Tell me. Well, I for once and for all, just so I can talk, I can tell Adam and his brother, was 9/11 an inside job? I'm going to find out.
I got to tell you, you know what? After all this, I don't think we need a president anymore.
I don't think
to be
we
quite
do.
Honest with you.
I don't think we do.
This whole country's fucked.
No, I really don't.
No.
See, for me, the first thing I would do is I would make a flat income tax. So in other words, instead, you would get all your money. And when you would go to buy something, like you have a state tax, you'd have a federal tax. Mm-hmm. And so the more you spend, the more you pay in taxes. The less you spend, the less you pay in taxes.
That's smart.
If you just did that one thing, you could not spend the amount of money in this economy because everybody would have all their money. Could you imagine if you got your check and it was your whole check and you didn't have, you know, you didn't have that whatever 30% taken out and you had that money? That's why they take the money out at the, you know, when they give you the check, because if they told you at the end of the month you had to give them, you would never have it.
Hell no.
So that's why they do it. So that's number one, what I would do. Number two, what I would do is I would stop with all this nonsense about this, you know, I would, this, the country would be run by the Constitution. In other words, the First Amendment, you have a right to the First Amendment. And yes, there are consequences to that. But in other words, you can't be shouted down by somebody else and nobody's going to be canceled. And if anybody tries and gets somebody fired by something they say on social media, that they can be sued for damages. So in other words, the income lost by somebody being fired by something, they can sue the people that outed them for those damages. Nice. That's number two. Mm-hmm. And number three.
Bring back Prima Nocta. I know you.
I don't even know what that is.
Come on, Braveheart, dude.
I don't know what that is. don't listen. I'm old and I forget things quickly. Don't tell me.
Well, I'm not political. So
my
here we
third
go.
Thing. So my third thing is that all the media, TV stations and everything have to donate time for political candidates' messages. In other words, there's no more money in politics in advertising. So they have to donate the certain block of time for candidates. And this takes the money out of politics. So they don't have to be out there raising money all the time. And they will have time to go out and actually do the job that we send them to Washington to do. Because if anything showed you in the last 4 years, that doesn't matter whether it's a Republican Senate or a Democratic Senate. It doesn't matter. They're going to do nothing except try to get themselves reelected.
Speaking of politics,
my three things.
Speaking of politics, did you see the video of Zuckerberg talking to that lady on Facebook?
Oh, my God.
About how the politicians can pay Facebook to run ads and he won't fact check them?
It's not his job to fact check them.
Well, see, what they do fact check, they do fact check products. So, you know, you don't put products up there that they want to make sure the products are actually real. So here's the thing about Facebook and that committee. So what I would love to do is be able to go back and listen to that committee. And what happens is every question they ask Zuckerberg take Zuckerberg out of there and put me in there and let me answer the question.
Yeah, he couldn't answer shit.
That's what I want to do. All right, matter of fact, the next episode of the Bear Cave just might be that. If I can find on C-SPAN, if I can find that video of that and just take every question and have them answer it, and then I'll answer for Zuckerberg. Trust me. My answers will be way better.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, yes, Congress. Yes, Congresswoman. Congresswoman.
Well, he's a goddamn robot anyway. I mean, like, if you look at the guy,
lawyer bit, yeah. Talk to him.
You could see he's maybe not an actual robot, but I think he might be an actual robot.
He's just some dumb kid.
He's very socially awkward. Mm-hmm. The one question where the guy goes, "Do you know how many LGBT people work in that company?" I said, "What the fuck kind of question is that?
Yeah, right.
Why would I know how many LGBT people work in a company? Do you know how many LGBT people work in Congress? You run Congress." You know that? Why would I know that? Why do I care how many people
it's not
are
like
there?
They have maybe to report it.
Maybe there's a quota for them now.
You think?
I don't. Again,
there's a quota for women.
That you. This is your question for me. This is what you brought to me. This is right. Of all you knew I was coming, and this is what you need to know. Is that really? I have the question now. My question is that your best question. I'll give you about 5 minutes. See if you can come up with a better question. That's
the most intimidating. I love it.
The stupidest question I've ever heard in my entire life. How people in your state elected you is beyond my comprehension. Matter of fact, we're going tomorrow. I want to find out. I'm going to actually take money and have a water survey to find out if there's any pollution in the water, air, or anything to make that state stupid enough to elect you to represent this country.
And then you're making me a tomato sandwich, motherfucker.
I was going to say, and we—it's late in the game, but we got a water out of them. So this episode was a win. John, I appreciate you coming and sitting with us tonight, man. I wanted to get you after your win on the roundtable, but schedules didn't allow it. So, I mean, this was a perfect opportunity because you were in the host seat. And, you know, one thing before we do wrap up, one thing I do want to ask you, how did you feel about the general vibe of having an all-woman panel? Would you do that again?
I absolutely would do that again. I think, matter of fact, I think it should be every fourth one should be an all-woman panel.
Okay.
I really do. I'll be honest with you, and here's the thing, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get blasted and roasted for this. and this by no means means that, and I don't mean this against Brooke, my co-host that's on all the time, but I think that when you have three men and a woman, that sometimes we can be overbearing.
Sure.
And I think that, you know, I think women feel more comfortable around women. Well, and I think Brooke gets in there and she swings, you know, she gets in there and fights just like we do.
She does. She's a goddamn assassin, too. Anyone that underestimates Brooke, you're a fucking fool. Because Brooke would step over you in a heartbeat. You know, if you were on fire, she wouldn't piss on you. She's cold-blooded.
Right. For me, I think that she felt as... I look back at the show because I did go back and rewatch it. I think she looked more comfortable with women. And I do think that, you know, it's not that they can't compete with men. I would never say that. I just think that when you have four women talking about subjects from a women's point of view, I think it gives us an insight into the way women think and, you know, what's important to them. And I think that if you have two on a panel with two men, I think it can be overshadowed. So I would love to do at least one out of every four with women. I think that would be great.
It was definitely interesting. It definitely shook it up a little bit. John, again, thanks for coming by and talking a little roundtable with us tonight. Thanks for sitting with us. Tell everybody where they can find you.
The Bear Cave Podcast. It will be back. I promise. I promise.
I watched the first two on Facebook. They were good. Good episodes. I think the first one was with Michelle. The second one was with Randall. I enjoyed both of them. So definitely be on the lookout for that. If you are a new listener to our show, thanks for stopping by. We're the hashtag No Offense Show. We're available on every platform under the sun. I'm not going to list them all. Reminder, we have the rate and review contest with Hemp Bombs going on. Screen grab it and send it to us at htnos@yahoo.com. We're htnos on all the social media platforms. That's Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and htnos.com.
Word.
You can find me at The Real Wutzke.
I'm Duchess Wetzke on Twitter.
And you can find us and our whole squad at the Inner Circle Podcast Network. That's Inner Circle PN on social media and innercirclepn.com. It's us. It's Simmons and Moore. Shit Happens When You Party Naked, The Hood Diner, The Plunge, any podcast, Failing Hollywood, and all the Inner Circle original programming that you have come to know and love.
Well, John's on Twitter, too.
Yeah, I am. I'm actually John Jamingo on Twitter.
I know that. Who that?
Thanks, Dutchie.
John, it was a pleasure, man. Thank you.
Thanks,
thank you. I've had a ball.
I love you.